Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is part two with our good friend Alden Light out of Sarasota, Florida, a young man who is last week, and if you haven't gone back, go back last Thursday and really walk through. He talked about God guiding him in his career choices, and it's such a beautiful explanation of the fact that God, first of all, he doesn't have any system. He just has a way, and you have to follow my way. And sometimes it doesn't even make sense, it seems like. But he says, here's what I was up to, here's what I'm doing, and now I've moved him. He's moved him to this beautiful new company where he's both in sales, and he has an opportunity to give it away and disciple. So we're very excited about that. In this session, I'd like to talk a little bit about your heart to give it away. And you, of course, you've understood covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. And you've had learned to abide. Tell us how you were prompted and then how it's developed for you to, you've gathered a bunch of kids and you're teaching them what it means to walk with God. And just go back to the very beginning of that. What prompted you to think about that? How did that develop? And where is it today that you're very active in, and that's what the covenant's all about, by the way, is I'm learning something, I'm receiving something. I now want to help others receive that same thing. Because if, by the way, if you hadn't received it, you couldn't give it away.
Yeah.
So walk us through the very beginning of that. You know, what prompted you to do it? And talk to us about that whole scenario of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, pretty heavily involved in ministry now, which is like arguably the favorite thing about my life right now, which is so cool. It's gone places that I did not expect it to at all, which is crazy. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It's crazy. But where it all started... Goodness, this was probably 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Well, I've been working through the process of abiding for several years, for 3 to 4 or 5 years, I think. But for ministry specifically, and the giving it away part, it was about 2 years ago. I really felt the Lord was teaching me how to abide. He was showing me what it means to abide. I remember sitting on my bed. It was a very tough season of life for me, and I didn't have a lot of good things going for me. And so I was like, I need to just get centered with my walk with God right now, because this is terrible. And so I remember sitting down on my bed and I had my Bible open. I was like, okay, growing up in a Christian house, I've read the Bible, like I know all this stuff, but I want to change my perspective on this. I want to work through the word and I just want to learn about the heart of Jesus. I want to read the word with the perspective of, this is Jesus's love letter to me. Let me read this. Let me learn about the heart of Jesus and how he feels about me and his love for me and just his plan. And so I started doing that. And as cliche as it may sound, I really just fell in love with the heart of Jesus. I was like, this is, we talk about relationship in our walks with the Lord. And I feel like a lot of people will throw that word out, but they don't really know what it feels like and what it actually means. But I really started falling in love with Jesus and feeling like I had an actual relationship with him. I was abiding with him. I understood that abiding is not just, church on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's not just opening your Bible, for 30 minutes in the morning and, closing it and forgetting about it. It's inviting the Lord into every aspect of your life, every moment of your life. It's not just, it's on the way to work. It's while I'm having these sales calls. It's while I'm, whatever, it's while I'm playing sports, it's while I'm at the gym, it's whatever it is, it's inviting the Lord into that moment and just having a relationship with them. And so I started learning that, and the Lord just started showing up in my life in the craziest ways. I mean, the craziest ways. I don't have my journal next to me. It's in my kitchen, but it's full of my big asterisks all throughout my journal of times when the Lord did something that I could only describe as a miracle. And that only came through abiding with him, walking in relationship with him, keeping my eyes fixed on him. And then he just started showing me all this stuff. And so all that to say, I started feeling the impression on my heart after realizing how much fruit I was bearing in that relationship with him. I was like, I need to tell other people about this. Like, this is incredible. Like, I'm in difficult seasons of my life, but I'm being kept in perfect peace. Like, a verse in Isaiah, you probably know the reference, I don't. But it says that you'll keep his heart in perfect peace, whose mind is set on you because he trusts you. And I trust the Lord because he's proven himself so many times. So I've been walking in this perfect peace. It's so cool. And so
by the way, on that verse in Isaiah, it's Isaiah 41, in the Hebrew, it says he'll keep you in shalom, shalom, you know, and he repeats it. And the word shalom there is, you know, more than just absent of conflict, but it's favor and it's a sense of contentment and walking in power and all that. And the reason that they interpret it perfect peace is that when he repeats the same word, shalom, shalom, it means that's the highest and best there is. So yeah, that's a beautiful verse that you were led to, and it's amazing. So, you know, go ahead, continue on that. Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate you sharing that. That makes it even more powerful. Yeah. So I felt probably like a year and a half ago-ish. I get the time frames mixed up, but I felt the Lord was putting on my heart to start some form of a young adults ministry. And honestly, I pushed it off for a while. I was like, there's a lot of other young adults ministries around. I went to a lot of Bible studies, you know, but I never felt, even with going to wonderful Bible studies, I never felt like peace about staying there, not because of anything that they were doing, but because the Lord had told me, hey, start this, do this, move forward. And he would not let me have peace not doing it.
I love
and
that.
So, yeah, I could not avoid it. And so I ended up starting a Bible study. It's called Abide Bible Study. And so credit to you, Mr. Case, for teaching me through that stuff. We kind of stole that the name there, but the vision of it was to gather with young adults and pour into the Word and learn to abide. What does it mean to abide? And so we've been doing that now for a year and a half. It's been a year and a half with this ministry specifically. It's been so incredible. It started with like 5 to 10 people, and we're now up to 40 plus.
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic.
It's just on a consistent basis, and it's incredible. The Lord is moving in such incredible ways through the ministry. You know, our last gathering, this last Monday, we had a time of worship and prayer. I mean, the Spirit was moving. I was bawling. I mean, it was such a beautiful time. It's crazy to see how the Lord has been moving through that and how consistently people are coming back. It's not about the numbers, but that people are coming back to it because they're hungry to learn more about the Lord, to learn more about abiding, to learn more about applying these truths to their lives. So that's been incredible. I also started a different ministry with a few other friends. It's called Dwell House. And we do that once a month. That's also young adults, 18 through 30. And we had, I think, 73 people at our last gathering for that ministry, 73 young adults. So those are the two ministries that I'm involved in right now. It's been so cool to see the Lord work and move. I help serve at my church as well with the youth ministry there. But yeah,
Tell us a little more about what Dwell House does.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the only real difference is the timing of it, the consistency of it, and then the structure of it is a little different. So we meet once a month as opposed to bi-weekly with Abide Bible Study. Mm-hmm. And the teaching style is a little different. With Abide, we'll work through a section in the Word. So right now we're going through Romans, and then we kind of open it up to a discussion. So the whole group just starts sharing with how the Lord is speaking to them through that, which is really cool. With Dwell, it starts with more of like a teacher setting where either myself or one other guy that I help lead it with will give like a 15-minute message on whatever. My first message that I gave was on abiding, believe it or not, you know, a year and a half ago when that started. And then we'll break out into discussion groups afterwards, like five people in a group, and we got some questions to work through. And there's a time of worship and prayer in that as well. And then a social time afterwards.
That's awesome.
The differences there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Beautiful. Is there overlap in the two groups in terms of people who are coming, or are you finding it's two very separate groups?
Interesting enough, for the most part, it's been two separate groups.
That's fantastic.
Which is interesting. Yeah. So it's not, it's not like my 40s coming to, you know, the other. Mm-hmm. It's like 70 of these people and then 40 of these people.
Right.
Which is crazy.
I love it.
Which is what, it's awesome. It's really, really cool.
When you started your Abide study and you said you invited, what did you say, and how did you invite people to say, hey, would you like to? And you said you had, you know, like 7-8 people that would, that had to. What did you invite them to, and why did they say yes, do you think? When it just started, since they didn't really, you know, when, usually people don't even know exactly what you're doing. So how did you invite them?
Yeah. So a lot of it started, you know, the first several members, I obviously had family, and my family's pretty big. So, you know, I got a lot of family members. So obviously they'll, my siblings will show up to support my cousins. but I had several other friends too, that I would invite. And I basically just shared with them what I just shared with you. Like, hey, this is something I feel like the Lord is putting on my heart. I want to open up this environment to be a comfortable environment. A lot of Bible studies that I go to, and you'll realize this, I think a lot of young adults, if any young adults listen to this, will relate. There's this apprehensive, stressful feeling as a young adult going to young adults events, because it's like your reputation, you're presenting yourself, it's your peers, it just feels awkward. It can feel high stress. So you mm-hmm. can go to a Bible study and want to and be there for the best intentions, but you can almost be distracted by social status and making sure that you present yourself well and, you know, all these things. And I hate that. I hate that, because that distracts from the purpose of why we're actually gathering.
Right.
So my goal and my vision for Abide, and what I shared with the first few people who I invited, was I want this to be a family. I want this to be an environment where everybody feels comfortable, where everybody feels valued and welcomed. There's not like a higher social status between, you know, oh, the leaders and then everybody else. Like, we're all in this together. We're all seeking the Lord's will and pouring into his word together. And so I would just share that with the people I was inviting, like, hey, this is a family comfortable environment. We're working through the word together. The Lord has shown me some really, really incredible things that I'm passionate about. And I just want to share that. I want other people to be able to experience the peace that you can have when you're abiding with the Lord. And it would be selfish of me to keep that to myself. You know, like, I want other people to experience it. I shared that the first several meetings I started. I remember it's coming back to me. I shared that, like, the Lord is giving me so much peace and direction in my life. And my only wish is that everybody in this room could experience the exact same thing, because it's life changing. You can have peace in the storm. You can have, you know, hope when your whole life is turned upside down. And I want other people to experience that. And I think that was a good hook for a lot of people. And they came in, and it's not a lie. It's all, I mean, the Lord really does do that. And I think the evidence of that is how much this has grown, and everybody who comes out are typically, you know, it's all the same people. It just keeps growing. So it's been incredible.
Yeah. And help us, all of us, understand, you know, as you, first of all, you understood it because it was happening to you, and you offered it, you know, to these people. Therefore, what, during this time that has grown, what's the difference between just Bible study? Yeah, I learned stuff, and experiencing the power, the truth that you just said is, you know, God can give you peace. God can resolve your issues. You know, God has a plan for you. Yeah. If that was hollow, it would be, yeah, that's nice, you know, and that's nice to learn about it, but it doesn't happen. Well, how did you experience God working in those people's lives? And what's the difference, therefore, between Bible study and learning to abide and do that in a community?
I'm very passionate about this answer, and I talk about it all the time. there is a big difference between having head knowledge about the Bible and actually having it in your heart, and it being something that you really believe in and you walk out. And so I share that at least once a month in my Bible study, just as a refresher. Like, guys, this isn't about just, you know, picking up the word and reading it and be like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, just making a mental note of it and then forgetting about it for a week. Yeah. Maybe you remember about it. It's about taking the truth of God's word and transporting it from your head to your heart. Because when it moves to your heart, it's not just head knowledge. Like, you actually believe it, you feel it. And that has been what I've been trying to convey and show. And that was the turning point for my walk with God, you know, growing up in a Christian household. Like, I have a plethora of head knowledge about God and about the word and about the Bible. But I didn't start really experiencing growth in my relationship with the Lord until I processed and worked towards moving it from my head to my heart. Okay, the Bible says this. Do I really believe that? Mm-hmm. Like, do I really believe that God can give me perfect peace and that he has a plan for me? Do I really believe that? You know, because if I really did believe that, then I wouldn't be stressing about my life right now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be, you know, and I understand that we're human and we'll struggle through those emotions, but that's what I've been kind of presenting to the young adults who are attending is, guys, this is more than just, you know, okay, we're going to meet on Monday nights for a couple hours and talk about the word and, you know, oh, cool. You know, this interesting fact about the Bible. I take more of a practical approach to it. My questions that I lead the group through are tailored to personal application. Like, how can we, starting the minute you walk out the doors and leave and then wake up tomorrow, how can you apply that to your life and actually walk it out so that it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. Like you feel it, believe it in your heart, and you're living it. Because when you live it and you see it, then it becomes real to you. And then, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame after you experience that.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing as a, you know, as a leader, we in our retreats and, you know, small groups, et cetera, you have to believe that actually God will, in fact, show them really that it's real. Mm-hmm. And then they do. Yeah. And then, of course, that's why you're growing, because people are saying, I heard that, you know, is that possible? And that's, by the way, that's interesting, because if you go back to Acts, even chapter 2, that's how the church grew. Mm-hmm. Is that people came because, yeah, I heard cool stuff's happening. Not just I'm learning intellectually theology. I'm actually experiencing. You guys are experiencing life. So that's a beautiful thing. One aspect I'd like you to talk about as you do that and have done that. What has that meant to you personally? You've been the conduit, what we call a sheepdog, faithful sheepdog. You're receiving God's assignment. You're faithful in that assignment. You're the, you know, the under shepherd, so to speak, to this group of people, teaching them to follow the shepherd. What has that done for you as you've experienced receiving and giving it away?
Like seeing the change in their lives, or?
No, I'm talking about what deepens in you and your relationship with God as you're in that role of stepping toward the giving it away piece of it. There's things that are just happening for you personally that motivate you to keep doing it as well as enjoy it, you know? And so what is happening to you as you're now experiencing more and more and more the giving it away piece?
Yeah. I'm seeing how when I started the Bible study, or the ministries I was involved in, there was a time earlier this year, actually. No, it was late last year, where I almost stopped. I almost stopped, actually. Because I was really, really stressed out, and I was realizing that ministry it can be difficult. It's a big.
And by the way, it's difficult because unfortunately there's people involved.
Yeah. And so I quickly realized, you know, after doing it for like 8 to 9 months, I was like, man, this is a lot. I think my perspective was wrong though, because I was too stressed out about numbers and attendance and not so much on what the Lord was actually. I was focused on what the Lord was doing, but I was letting the other things kind of distract me a little bit. So almost stopped. And there was about a month long period where there's just kind of a standstill. I hadn't started things back up yet. And I had, I kid you not, like 5 to 10 people either text me, call me, or see me in person and say, hey, when is the Bible study going to start back up? I really miss it. I want to be back involved in it. And the Lord really put on my heart and has been showing me like, it's not, like your act of obedience that the Lord tells you to do something is not always just about you. Yeah. You know, it's if God
That's
tells
so
you
good.
To do something. Yeah. If God tells you to do something, you might be sitting there being like, okay, well, what is this going to do for me? Well, maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's the Lord working through you to touch and affect the lives of others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll see him do that. Other times he'll call you to be obedient and you won't see what happens. And it doesn't matter either way. He calls us to be obedient regardless. So for me, I guess I've been really realizing that being obedient to the Lord is allowing for the Lord to move in the lives of other people and affect their lives. And that has been growing my faith so much. Sometimes I see the fruit of it. Sometimes I don't. But I've in my Bible study alone, I've seen a lot of people make connections. I've seen some people showed up to Bible study. They just lost their jobs. They're in a really tough financial position. And then from Bible study, they connected with somebody who offered them a job with the company that they're working with. And that never would have happened if I hadn't. It's not about me. But if I had not been obedient to continuing out with what the Lord was calling me to do. So I guess just realizing that being obedient to God, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than just what he's doing for me specifically. It's affecting other people, which has been massive for me, very encouraging for me to see.
Yeah. And as you know, are in the word and teaching, you know, that word to that group, what does that do to your depth of building, you know, truth and library of God's library into you personally? So, because you have to give it away. What does that piece of it by deepening? How does that deepen your understanding as you now share that truth with other people?
Yeah. So one thing that a friend of mine shared with me, he's the guy I do ministry with the other ministry, is when you're in ministry, you're pouring out, you're giving to other people, which is great. But it should be coming from an overflow of your walk with the Lord.
Right.
And that has been something that's been really, really massive for me to kind of process and realize that I need to be in the Word with God, pouring into it. And I'm realizing that as I'm prepping for my lessons, as I'm giving the sermon, as I'm leading whatever ministry I'm involved in, I need to be rooted in my walk with God. I need to have my quiet time away from other people. I need to retreat to the mountaintop and have my time with the Lord and be filled with the Lord so that out of the excess of my relationship with the Lord, I'm able to pour out into other people. Because if you're not spending time with the Lord, and I'm not perfect, you know, there've been times where, you know, my relationship with the Lord hasn't been as strong as it has like a couple months ago or whatever. And you can feel the difference. You're pouring out from, not from an excess, not from an overflow. And there's a very obvious difference there. So that's been something that the Lord has really been showing me, that I need to be rooted in my walk with Him. And I'm pouring into our texts, you know, before the Bible studies. I'm learning a lot, you know, I'm growing in personal knowledge, which has been incredible. And then also realizing that I just need to make sure that I'm staying connected to the vine. I need to make sure that I'm staying connected to the source, and prioritizing my walk with the Lord so that I can best be used for those around me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. And the, you know, we can, Kathy and I can see that, you know, your joy, your enthusiasm, your life, you know, that you said so well, is that God wants to give you life and all these aspects of it, that it's not just the duty of it, but it's the joy of God using you as His messenger. And you'll see fruit, but it's going to come because you're introducing people to Him, you know, and what that looks like. So that's a beautiful thing. And Alden, we so appreciate your heart. We're very excited. And Kathy and I are always overwhelmed when we get to hear what God's up to, and you know, what a privilege it is to see what's going on with you. And we know that, you know, you got lots of other decisions coming up in life, and mate, and all these things will be fun to catch up on in your beautiful life. So we just want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, and just by walking with God as He's put you in the spot, really pretty quick. So. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just pray blessing over Alden right now. We pray for peace. We pray for shalom, for favor, for the joy of how to stay in margin with you, to not take on any burdens with this, but rather the privilege of giving it away. And you're blessing him with so many people that are hungry. And he's the one that stands there next to him. And you said, you, son, have to be my spokesman. And so we pray that he will continue that it will be a joy. I pray that he doesn't get overburdened by it, and that he continues to know how you would prune him and grow him. And then these people are connected to you, and how wonderful it's going to be as that fruit multiplies. And we're so honored that we have the privilege of being co-laborers with Alden. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us. You have the most beautiful way of expressing your faith in a way that I think our audience can all hear and understand, and then gives them the desire for the same. And so thanks for just your authenticity and sharing this all with us. It's really fun to see this next generation coming up and the passion God's given you for intimacy with Him. So thanks for sharing that. To our audience, if you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Thanks, Alden. See you soon.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.